Chapter 12, Melville's New Bedford. The life and work of major American writer Herman Melville, 1819 to 1891, coincided with the rise and fall of New Bedford's whaling industry. The two are now inexorably linked. Melville's maritime experiences, gained on an 1841 whaling voyage out of the port of Fairhaven and bound for the Pacific, formed the basis for the works that place him among the greatest authors in American literature. Melville transformed the events of his journey into a series of books, beginning with Typee, 1846, and culminating in Moby Dick, 1851. The latter is often called America's greatest novel. New Bedford is vividly represented in Moby Dick. Although the Spouter Inn, where Ishmael meets his companion, the remarkable Polynesian harpooner Queequeg, is no longer standing, several sites described in the novel can be visited today. The Seaman's Bethel, with its prow-shaped pulpit, the handsome mansions of Quaker shipowners, such as the Roach Jones Stuff House, and the environs of the African-American church into which Ishmael stumbled as he was searching for lodging. Melville spent several days in New Bedford before departing on the whale ship Acushnet on January 3, 1841. He had more than enough time to see the sights and survey the town, from its teeming docks to its lofty mansions perched along the crest of County Street. In Moby Dick, Chapter 6, The Street, deals principally with New Bedford as Ishmael marvels at the whaling city. The town itself is perhaps the dearest place to live in all New England. Nowhere in America will you find more patrician-like houses, parks and gardens more opulent than in New Bedford. Yes, all of these brave houses and flowery gardens came from the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. One and all, they were harpooned and dragged up hither from the bottom of the sea. Melville had many occupations during his lifetime, including cabin boy, seaman, farmhand, novelist, poet, businessman, bank clerk, teacher, literary critic, and customs inspector. He had written 5 books by age 30 and had moved to a farm in the Berkshires to work on a new book called The Whale. It was first published in London in October 1851 under this title, which was subsequently extended to Moby Dick or The Whale for its American publication the following month by Harper & Brothers, New York. By any measure, at 212,758 words and 135 chapters, it was a gargantuan work. When, in the early 1950s, filmmaker John Huston announced that he would make a film of Moby Dick, the idea that New Bedford might play its own part in the movie, which would star Gregory Peck, was noted in the local press. However, after Warner Brothers scouts surveyed the city and other New England locations, Huston decided that none was acceptable for the opening scenes, although New Bedford was used elsewhere in the film. He chose instead Yall, Ireland, to stand in as New Bedford. The Standard Times editorialized in January 16, 1955, the first disappointment was an awareness that New Bedford had completely shed its affinity with 19th century whaling and whalers. The museum commissioned a study in 1958 to consider the feasibility of restoring some of the older structures of the waterfront district where the museum stood, as this was the neighborhood deemed unfit for Hollywood. From the study, the Waterfront Historic Area League, WHALE, emerged in 1961 with the mission to restore forlorn 19th century properties along the waterfront. Popular opinion grew in support of historic restoration, especially after the national attention generated by a Hollywood movie premiere. The city's whaling heritage shone under a mass media spotlight in 1956, when director John Huston and some of the cast members of Moby Dick landed at New Bedford Airport. They were greeted by thousands of fans who lined the route of their motorcade to the New Bedford Hotel. On June 26, the day of the premiere, 35,000 spectators cheered a Moby Dick parade, the largest in city history. The museum has forged many partnerships with organizations whose aims include fostering Melville's legacy. The Melville Society Cultural Project grew out of the Melville Society, a group of scholars from universities around the United States who have collaborated with the museum and its research library. Perhaps the museum's single most popular program is its annual Moby Dick Marathon. Participants hail from around the globe to read aloud Melville's masterpiece from beginning to end in one uninterrupted event. Readers come from all walks of life, including students, scholars, fishermen, school teachers, community leaders, journalists, legislators, physicians, clergy, and descendants of Melville. Hundreds more follow along in their own copies of the book, from its famous opening line, "Call me Ishmael," to "Fini," the final word of its epilogue. The book requires approximately 25 hours to complete. In recent years, the addition of social media and live streaming has made the marathon accessible and interactive to millions more around the world. Chapter 12, Profile. The Whale Fights Back. Shakespeare, in Hamlet, wrote, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." While it was the business of whalers to hunt, sometimes a whale would fight back. Among the more famous of the several incidents of whales attacking whaling vessels are those of the ship Essex of Nantucket in 1820, the ship Pocahontas of Tisbury in 1850, the ship Anne Alexander of New Bedford in 1851, and the bark Kathleen of New Bedford in 1902. All four stories have one element in common. The species encountered was a sperm whale, and in each instance, the whale rammed the vessel with its head after a prolonged fight with the whaleboats. The Essex, under the command of George Pollard, Jr., with Owen Chase, first mate, sank 2,000 miles off the west coast of South America in a region called the offshore grounds. The whale attacked the ship with a vengeance in his aspect, according to Chase. The event became famous not only for the sinking itself, but for the terrible suffering of the crew members. They were at sea for 90 days in three open whaleboats and gradually resorted to cannibalism. Only 8 of the original crew of 20 survived. The Essex story provided inspiration for Herman Melville's great novel Moby Dick, where Captain Ahab's relentless pursuit of the great white whale resulted in the sinking of the Pequod. The same year that book was published, the Anne Alexander suffered a similar fate in the same general area of the Pacific.